I find my rest, and without you I fall upon. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lord, I need you.
Our scripture lesson is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. In you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To err is human, to forgive divine. That statement actually troubles me. To me, it says people are helpless. It is a given that we are going to mess up. Now, of course, the positive part of the statement is the call to forgive when people do err. Obviously, we are human. Scripture informs us in numerous places that we are born sinful and in need of reconciliation with God. Even so, this morning, I feel compelled to consider a question with you. Is our humanity something that we are to strive to rise above, or is our humanity something we are called to live up to? I want to repeat that for you. Is our humanity something we strive to live above, or is our humanity something we are called to live up to? There are those that view human beings as the highest species of nature, but even then, humans are viewed as merely driven by the same primal instincts as any other animal. In this view, the only thing that separates us human beings from all the other animals is we have thumbs so we can manipulate tools, and we have minds so that we have the potential to reason. Not everybody uses them, but we have the potential to reason, and we have the capacity to be civilized. But human nature is still viewed as barely above the primal instincts of any other wild animal. I'm going to offer you this morning the thought that we do not live up to our humanity. That human beings are far more than simply the top of the food chain. If we lived up to our status as human beings, this world would be a drastically different place. If we lived up to our humanity, we would have far fewer issues with self-esteem. If we lived up to our humanity, we would relate to God in a drastically different way. If we lived up to our humanity, we would relate to each other in drastically different ways. If we lived up to our humanity, this world would be much closer to living God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Our scripture lesson is from the letter to the Colossians, and in that letter, Paul is refuting the teachings of a philosophy called Gnosticism. One of the Gnosticism's main teachings was, and this is important, anything physical is 100% evil. Anything spiritual is 100% good. Therefore, the Gnostics came in and they said, since God is entirely good, because God is spirit, God could not have had anything to do with the creation of this evil physical world. And Jesus was not human at all. Jesus only appeared to be human and partially represented God. Paul refutes the Gnostics by declaring in Colossians 1:15-17, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And this is where Paul really pushes the point against the Gnostics. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. For he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In these three verses, Paul declares the supremacy of Christ. The Gnostics taught that since God is spirit and therefore God is good, the world was created by some angel-like being that was far removed from God, because nothing close to God could be associated with any of the evil of the physical aspects of creation. Paul refutes them by declaring Jesus as the second person of the Trinity was very much involved in the creation process. He declares that creation occurs through Christ, was created for Christ, and is held together by Christ. As the Apostle Paul declared in the introduction to the Gospel according to John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. And then it goes on to say, and the Word, the creative force of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified to him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before ahead of me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father, who has made him known. Now, all of this is important because it's crucial to the Christian faith that Jesus is God. And through Jesus, God not only created this physical world, but lived in it. That brings me back to our original question of whether our humanity is something to live above or to live up to. Paul declares of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Paul declares that Jesus was the perfect manifestation of God. Again, in the Gospel according to John, you know, Paul can be a little wordy sometimes. Jesus said it a little more succinctly, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's in John 14:9. If we want to know what God is like, read about Jesus. If we want to know what God expects, read about Jesus. If we want to know what God promises, read about Jesus. And I'm talking about the four Gospels, not secular interpretations of them, but the four Gospels. If we want to know whether or not God loves us, look at Jesus. But Jesus is not only the perfect example of God, Jesus is the perfect example of being human. Now granted, few if any of us, I've never known anyone that could do the miraculous works that Jesus did on earth. But I want you to hang with me here. When I look at the character of Jesus, when I look at the person of Jesus, I do not see anything about him that cannot be lived. I want to repeat that. Or maybe rephrase that. Can I raise the dead? No. Can I walk on water? No. So far, have I ever touched anybody with my hands and brought physical healing to them? No. Is there anything about the character of Jesus that I cannot live? No. Is there anything about the person of Jesus that I cannot follow? No. Is it challenging? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. Do we want to be like Jesus? You have to answer that question. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we read, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Humans are created to be like God in will and in character and in actions. In Jesus, we have the image of what God is like, and we have the image of what humans are called to be. Of course, we know people don't live up to that image. Why? Sin and evil entered the picture. And according to Genesis, sin can easily be summed up by saying humans disobeyed God because humans didn't want to obey God. Humans wanted to be equal to God. Jesus is the perfect image of not only who God is, but who we can be and who we are called to be. Yes. It is challenging. Yes, it is possible. The greatest challenge is not our ability to be like Jesus. The core issue is whether or not we love and trust Jesus enough to obey Jesus and live up to our humanity. Now, I can hear the immediate response. No one's perfect. Well, that's absolutely true. But then I would ask another question. Is that an acknowledgement or is that an excuse? For you see, if I realize I'm not perfect, yes, I know, I'm not God. But I'm striving toward perfection. One of the questions I had to answer for ordination are you striving for perfection? Do you expect to be made perfect in love in this life? And we all answer yes. So one of two things means it's going on. Either we're striving for perfection or we're lying through our teeth. I know I'm not perfect. I better not say I'm perfect. My wife is here with me. But that doesn't mean I'm not striving for it. But I can say, and I have heard striving Christians say it, even though they didn't use these exact words. I know I'm not perfect, so why try? I'm not going to mess with it. My imperfections, are they acknowledgement or the excuse? Vince Lombardi told the Green Bay Packers, "We will genuinely strive for perfection." And if you ever have seen any films of his practices, you know they did. Vince Lombardi said, "We will genuinely strive for perfection, knowing full well we will never attain it. But in the pursuit of perfection, we will attain excellence." Are we ready to follow the example of Jesus and thus live up to our humanity as being created in the image of God, as opposed to lamenting, "Well, you know, I'm only human"? No, folks, we're not only human. We are human. We are created in the image of the Creator God. We are human. I encourage you to read Romans chapter 6 in its totality. But in that chapter, Paul makes two powerful statements. In verse 14, he says, "For sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And then verses 20 to 23, he goes on to say, "When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It sounds to me like Paul is saying we don't have to succumb to the thought that we're automatically going to sin. Let that sink in a minute. Paul says we're no longer slaves to sin. Seems to me Paul's saying we don't have to give in to this thought that I'm automatically going to sin. There's just nothing I can do about it. But somebody might respond, "John, didn't Paul say in Romans 7:19, For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do"? He did. That's Romans 7:19. But as he continues discussing the conflict between the spirit and what he calls the flesh, I prefer to call it the sinful nature for the reasons we talked about in Colossians a second ago. But as Paul continues to discuss the conflict between the spirit and the sinful nature, he states in Romans 8:1-4, "For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, our sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Now notice the difference between trying to live above our humanity, our sinful nature for many, and grace that frees us to live up to our humanity. Most of us have probably either tried to diet or break a bad habit. Some have tried to diet for weight loss, others for medical reasons. But most of us have probably tried to diet for or break a bad habit. I could only speak for John. But you know what happens every time I say I am going to cut back on fat? I get a craving for Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what happens every time I say I'm going to cut back on sugar? Krispy Kreme donuts start calling my name. You know what I mean? When I'm going to try to live above my cravings, you know what happens? My cravings get worse. Same thing happens when I want to start a good habit. Every obstacle in this world gets in my way. We don't achieve our goal by sheer determination. We have to change our mindset. We have to change our mindset from defeating the obstacles to adopting a lifestyle and attitude change. It's the same concerning defeating our humanity or living up to our humanity. There's a lot of things about my humanity that you don't need to know about, but they get in my face all the time. And when I say I'm not going to do that anymore, I do it more. Paul said it this way in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And now, man, I tell you what. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 2:5? You do, you just don't remember chapter and verse, if you're like me. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Do you kind of get where I've been trying to go this morning? If I try to defeat my primal nature, however that comes out, by sheer determination, odds are I'm not going to do it. But if I allow God to change the way my mind works, if I allow God to change the way my heart works, then it's going to start changing the way I see things. It's going to start changing the way I hear things. It's going to start changing the way I say things. It's going to start changing the way I do things. Not because I'm trying to overcome being the top of the food chain, but because I have let the Creator put in me the same mind that the Creator has, so that I am living up to being created in God's image, of being human. So as we allow God to change our mindset, our focus is changed from avoiding the wrong to pursuing the will of God. And as we allow God to change our mindset, we are empowered to live up to our humanity, having been created in the very image of God. Well, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, wow. What a privilege to be created in your image. And what a powerful possibility Lord, I pray for myself and anyone who would agree with me this morning that I would allow you to take away all those things in my heart and mind that tell me that I can't live up to being your image. That I would allow you to take away all those things in my heart and mind when I lament, well, I'm only human. To elevate to where, through your Holy Spirit, through your power, through your changing my heart and my mind, that I might live up to my humanity as an image of the Almighty Creator God. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.